So I did a ton of radio in Northfield the whole time I was there. Never did any video. So when you guys did the video, that was a I was a nervous wreck because I'd never done the video. So this is only my second time doing the video. So.
Well, at least you're not a nervous wreck now.
Well, with you and that headgear on, that's more terrifying than just a phone looking at you.
YMCA. Why? I was trying to think how we were going to start this podcast.
Oh, I thought we were live. I was
we're live. Oh, we're live. We're live.
You know, working for the YMCA almost 20 years, I've never heard anybody start a conversation that way before.
I'm not joking. I was in the shower this morning thinking, how are we going to start this podcast? I was like, YMCA. Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know,
that is like a staple to the entire United States. It's amazing.
It is. And, you know, if you pay attention to branding news, about 8 or 9 years ago, the Y nationally was looking to rename itself, rebrand itself. And we quickly determined we couldn't get rid of the YMCA, even though we're not young men and Christian anymore. But it's known worldwide, and everybody knows that song.
Yeah.
So we're the Y, and it says in little tiny letters next to the logo, YMCA.
Because everybody knows
it. That's what everyone knows. Yeah, that's what they're used to.
But the song is always a surprise to me. It's so new, fresh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
One of those. Sometimes someone plays like, That song again.
Although, you know, I was invited to go to Rotary last week, and in the email they sent out to announce I was coming, they had some kind of a little gif, and it was one I hadn't seen before. So I was like, all right.
Ooh.
I like it. Something fresh and new. And
We need to make a gif for this show so that way we can promote it with the YMCA. Ooh, that's a good idea, too. I like that. Offices at China Hall on a Wednesday.
It is Wednesday.
Wednesday
morning.
My name is Bucky Beeman, one of the co-founders of the offices of China Hall here in downtown Rochester. And who am I here joined with?
I'm Virginia Kazmarek, and I'm the executive director of the Rochester YMCA.
And I am Josh Langmaid, and I own MediaCorp here in town.
Virginia, thank you for joining us.
Nice. It's nice to be in here because now I can actually see it rather than see it through your podcast. So this is a really cool space.
Thank you.
Cool, you walked building. In this morning, you're really like, cool. I get it now.
Yeah,
I get it.
I did. That's what the first thing I said. I got it now. It looks good. Looks good.
So. You know, the Y used to have ping pong back where the pool area is.
Seriously.
Yeah, so I've been going to the Y since my parents took me there forever. So it's 1, 2, 3. But I remember specifically the ping pong table that used to be in
the
that
pool area or in like the waiting area?
The waiting area that you can overlook the pool area. So that's where my ping pong game got so good. And then that's how I can beat everybody that comes up here to the
China Hall. Isn't it technically table tennis?
Okay. All right.
Just checking.
No, it's so funny you say that because Thursday nights we do it and there's a couple people that are like, no, it's not ping pong, it's table tennis.
I've been approached when I was in Northfield before I came here with some table tennis and they were enthusiasts and they would be upset if you called it ping pong. So I'm in the know when it comes to.
So we have in Rochester, I haven't been to it, but there is a table tennis club that meets out at RCTC and there's Olympian table tennis players.
Wow.
And, I just watched this video last week, and the young kid, and I want to say at that time he's probably 7 or 8. It's from 2 years ago. Amazing.
So
like a robot, like just throws the ping pong ball back, and it's just whoo, 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 just nonstop. So there are some really good table tennis players in town.
That's not me. Don't ask me to be on your team if you're going to be with them.
You can come
I'm
up
a retriever. I can retrieve the ball well.
Gotcha.
So if somebody needs help with
on
that.
The side, yeah. Runs, gets the ball quick.
It's like tennis.
Just like tennis,
yeah. Exactly.
Pulls it up and stands back again. Like.
Real formally. I love that.
Have you ever seen like the funny videos of the people that do that? And then
they
there's all these yeah, there's all these incidents.
Like bloopers?
Oh yeah.
Gets up quick to do falls.
Cheap entertainment.
National TV, like, oh, crap.
Oh,
if you're ever looking for cheap entertainment before you go to bed, you just type that in, like, tennis ball retriever and bloopers.
You know I'm going
to
do that. You know I'm going
to
have to do that.
You have
I'll send it to you in a message on Instagram.
Virginia, tell us about your story. You have not been from Rochester in the past, right?
No, actually, I've been in Northfield for the past 11 years. I've been with a wife for about 20. Almost 20, and in Northfield the last 11 years where we built the Y and it opened in 2014. And I had planned on staying in Northfield. I mean, I knew, went through the construction process, worked with hundreds and hundreds of volunteers, staff teams, and so I was, you know, I live 4 blocks from the Y.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that I would retire there in another 10 or 12 years. And you don't know what you don't know until you look backwards. And so I was tapped on the shoulder a couple times to see, you know, if I might be interested in coming to Rochester. And my fiance is from Rochester, so we used to come here for, and I've told this to Bucky a few times, but John Hardy Barbecue and Mr. Pizza Pizza, you know, and yep. Shields. You come down for Shields and the deals, and if you have an antique sale in the State Fairgrounds or in the Civic Center, you know, we'd come up for those things. But I didn't come with business eyes at all. And so the more I learned about Rochester and the changes that have been happening over the last couple of years, I started to get excited. So I'm kind of inspired by a challenge and inspired by just tell me it can't be done. And so looking back, you know, in Northfield, I loved it, loved every minute. But it got to the point where we had an endowment. We paid off the construction loan. Staff team was doing great. Board was fantastic. And I was worrying whether the lifeguard was showing up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And it just didn't light me up. So coming here, I've been just, it's been 5 months of, I'm just really happy. It's not easy, but it's really, really good. It's not easy because Rochester is not an easy town to step into from the outside and to understand it all. It's a small, big town, town being the word, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, but it's so much fun. I'm just having a ball here. So it's fun.
Do you like to work?
I do. When I, when my review comes up annually, usually it's work-life balance, you know? What's helped is I have a grown children. I have a daughter and a son. And my daughter has grandchildren, or I have grandchildren, she has children. And so that's helped because she lives in Pittsburgh. So I'm taking off Friday, for example, and I do a long weekend with them.
Nice.
So I'll fly out and spend time with the grandkids. And actually by Monday, I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait to get back to work.
Yeah.
Grandma, I'm like, ah!
So last night I sent her an email and I was like, hey, just 9 o'clock, wanted to confirm. It's like 10:30, right? Boom, I'll be there. I was like, yep. You like to work.
I was getting my news. I was reading the news on you know, most of the stuff is mobile for Jim and I now. We're in our 50s. But most of the stuff, we're so proud of ourselves, is mobile. So we have Spectrum on our iPad, you know, and we have, you know, of course, the regular apps, the Instagram and the Facebook and the Twitter and stuff. So I was checking my news. And insomnia. Dog ate the paperwork. I don't know. Got to get with the twist. But yeah, I didn't see it come through.
What did you do before Northfield, before the Y there?
I worked in the Twin Cities. So prior to them, they used to be two separate nonprofits. So there was a St. Paul YMCA and a Minneapolis YMCA. And so I worked a little while in Minneapolis, you know, almost 20 years ago. And then I moved to St. Paul. And I worked, I think I remember working at 11 different branches. So I would do something at a branch here, and they'd say, that was good. Good, what we needed. Now I'll move you to another branch and have you do something else. And so I went to Northfield partially because I wanted to build the relationships in the community. And I love going to Cub or, you know, one of the grocery stores and walking through the grocery stores and having the kids or the teens or the adults know who you are and connect with you in some way. So there's a connection outside the Y. I just loved that. So I left them at the time. Now, since then, the Twin Cities has merged. So St. Paul YMCA and Minneapolis YMCA has merged, I think, in 2012. And now I think they're the fourth largest YMCA in the world. Mm. They have 27 branches, which we're now one of. So the resources are amazing to me, just amazing. I've been so happy with being able to tap into, I mean, those of you that work small businesses or have small nonprofits, you don't have an HR department or a marketing department or an IT department. You know, if there's motion in the building at 2 o'clock in the morning, guess who gets called? You know, if the HVAC system goes out, guess who gets called? You know, so this has been really, really wonderful to have those resources. So it's been nice.
And that's part of the way you were able to grow within the Y is because of because of how large they probably have become.
Yeah. And I did the independent. Northfield was an independent.
Oh,
so my
it was.
Board,
okay.
Yeah, we weren't part of the Twin Cities. They were independent like Rochester used to be, you know, a few years ago. And so my board was my boss. And I loved that. Loved every minute of it. But it was at a point in my life where my kids were grown and I could live the Y. In fact, there was a period of time right before we opened and we're finishing the fundraising where I didn't use words unless they had a Y in them. You know, it was just all consuming. So much so that about 2 years after the Y opened, so this would have been like 2016, I actually had to train myself to have a life outside the Y.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you're like, okay, what are my interests? What are the things I like? I bought a kayak a year ago, and that was 2018. You know, when you are doing a project like that that's so intense, and you love it, so you're doing more of it, like you're, you know, alluding to, you just immerse yourself. And when you come out the other side, you're a little stunned.
You know, go, there's life out here.
Yeah, wow. I want to do.
So,
So it's been fun.
Did you grow up in the Northfield area, Minneapolis area?
No, but I'm a Minnesota girl. I grew up in St. Cloud.
Okay.
So, but when I grew up in St. Cloud, no, that was 35 years ago. The diversity in St. Cloud was the redheads. So it's all changed a lot. I still have family back there. But yeah, I grew up in St. Cloud. And I actually got in the military right out of high school.
Okay.
So I was in the military for a little while and then came back to Minnesota. Cool. So,
Well, thank you for your service.
Oh, thank you.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I was a Marine, which means I can put you in a pretzel hold really fast. So don't be, you know, doing any shifty moves. Yeah.
Yep. How?
I'm still picturing you in your kayak in like the lap pool, like working.
Working.
Yeah, I bought a kayak, like took it in the lap pool.
It's not funny. For those of you that have really spent time on something you just love and were so immersed, you literally have to teach yourself to not think about work. It's a tough thing. And I'm an introvert by nature. And so when I'm in the kayak, you know, I'd literally be out there going, okay, waves. Oh, wait, did I talk to so-and-so about this? Oh, no. Waves. Was that a fish? Oh,
that sounds like me working out at the Y. I'm like over in the corner like, all right, I want to answer this email. I really should be keep lifting weights. Like, because that's why I'm here.
Someone messages you at 10:30 at night when you're trying to read your Instagram account about purses or something. You know?
How has being a Marine played an influence in your life or in your career?
I think, you know, I used to think that all, this is so controversial, so I don't think this anymore. Or maybe I do, I don't know. But I think that it would be so helpful if students that come out of high school maybe spent a little time in service first with some protections. Like, they gave us credit cards. You know, as soon as you get in, you have an income that's a steady stream. So there's some financial protections I'd want for them to have, because you get in debt and then you can't return to school. But it really gives you an opportunity to step outside your hometown and your clique of friends or your group that you're used to, your silo, and experience a little bit of the world out there. And you have to figure out how to take care of yourself. So it unravels those strings from parents or guardians, you know, and those kind of things. So my Marine Corps experience was very much learning how to take care of myself and how to, when you fall down, how to, okay, that was really awful. But then to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and, you know, problem solve and figure out the next steps, which I think is part of the reason why I'm inspired about challenges. So I think that might have started back in that experience in the Marine Corps, you know, that, okay, well, that didn't go so well, which I do frequently, by the way, still, but it gives you an opportunity to go, okay, so that didn't go well. How could I do that differently? Who do I know around me that can give me some advice or tips to help me do that better next time? Or, you know, how can I learn from it? Which is a cliche, but really, how do you connect with people that just know a lot more than you do to be able to figure it out better next time? So I do a lot of that. I say I'm not an expert in anything, but I surround myself with people who are really smart. Staff, board members, community members, partners, family. Even the genes don't come through all the time, the genetic code.
So as we did a tour of a new facility, and that, what was the name of it again? Because we had to do that a few times.
It's the Early Childhood Learning Center, which I, for the life of me, couldn't say right that day. Right. So I was like 2 months into childhood, my job. But
AKA a child care facility.
Yeah, it's a licensed child care facility. So that's one thing I've been sharing with the Twin Cities is that they advertise a lot up there because they have, I think, 12 other ECLCs, licensed child care facilities up there. Rochester being a new market, is the language is sometimes a... We need to educate about that. But yeah, it's called the Early Childhood Learning Center, or ECLC, and it's basically a licensed childcare facility for infant through pre-K. So.
And then you took that project on for the most part?
The YMCA did, yeah, okay. The team.
Yep.
Remember, I have people.
Yeah.
I got people.
So do you kind of like oversee that and like the Y down the road here? Or
that's a really good question, because that's a good question for folks in Rochester to understand where Rochester fits in the Twin Cities.
And so, and probably go back a little bit for those that don't understand how we now are with the Twin Cities and what that might mean.
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, when I was in Northfield as an independent, and there was 17 independents in Minnesota, which Rochester was one of those. And so when Steve Kortz was here, I think he started a month after I did in Northfield. So I knew Steve. Because we'd get, all the CEOs would get together 2-3 times a year and do the, how are you, you know, we're small businesses, how are you handling this, what are you doing, you know, all that kind of stuff. Or the Y the USA has some new something that we need to implement. So how do you do that kind of stuff? So they've been telling us, the Y of the USA, for easily 6 or 7 years, that partner. Find a partner. Because the one thing you know is that expenses are going to continue to go up. Wages, you know, that's a thing I always knew. I couldn't guarantee the revenue was going to go up, but I always knew expenses were going to go up. So find partners to help reduce those costs. My background's economics. So how do you reduce, you know, expenses so that you have use economies of scale and those kinds of things? That people that have more talent in some areas than you do can come to the table and you can do bigger, better, you know. So we've been told that for a long time. So a few years ago, Rochester was in a position where they had to make those decisions. What are we going to do? We got to do something. And I think all YMCAs in the next 20 years actually will be partnered with somebody. I'd be surprised. And I'll be around still for 20. So I'm going to see how many truly independent Ys there are, because it's hard. Yeah. It's hard to be a small business, you know. So a couple of years ago, maybe a year and a half ago, the folks at the Y here, the board members and the members, voted to join the YMCA of Greater Twin Cities. And as in any transition, it's not a straight, easy road, because there's a history here for the Rochester Y that's amazing. Yesterday, I met another member of the Y who's been a member 50 years. I'm 53. I was three. You know, it's just amazing, the longevity. And then I was at a Sertoma presentation a couple of months ago, and a little old gentleman came up at the end and said to me, I used to be a PE instructor before the building was built.
And so it existed in the community before the building on First Avenue.
Which is typical. They kind of build up the programs and get things going, partnerships and stuff.
Is the Y, if not the oldest, one of the oldest nonprofits in the United States?
I think so, because when I read a history on one of the grants we submitted a while ago, there was a history that went back to, I think, 1874. So it's
one of the oldest nonprofits.
Long time. Yeah.
And it was... Yeah. I don't know where it was started, but
I have a little bit of that. It got me curious. I'm going to go back and look at it.
Right.
It's neat.
Yeah. And it's, you know, us growing up, we don't realize that, you know, it's like and this has probably been a challenge for multiple Ys, is it's viewed as a swim and gym.
Right.
It's viewed as a Planet Fitness, just another option.
Yeah.
Right. But it's.
Oh, it's so much more.
It's not.
It's so much more. So, you know, when we did our rebranding nationally a few years ago, part of that was because they surveyed nationally people, and they thought we were a swimming gym or a camp. And they had no idea we were a nonprofit, a 501c3 nonprofit charitable organization. So that was kind of the impetus of rebranding. Not just, I mean, the label didn't change, but we started doing things differently. Like the Rochester, one of their flagship programs is the Livestrong program, which is a program that supports people that have gone through cancer treatment to get back to being physically healthy again. And we got that program from the Y of the USA. I'm pretty sure we did. And I think there was similar programs like that in Rochester, because Mayo, we're just unique here with having this abundant of resources in Mayo. But they have more and more opportunities for us to opt into really good evidence-based programs, Healthy Weight in Your Child, you know, that helps kids that are in the 95 percentile. Enhance, which helps people that have arthritis. And, you know, the preventative diabetes program we're starting to look into doing, where to prevent you from getting diabetes, because, you know, I want to be able to eat whatever I want to eat right now. And the Livestrong program. So there's so much that we do that we don't advertise, or I used to say we don't toot our horn very well. And the stuff we are tooting, it's for the advertisement to get you in a swim class or have you join as a member. And then you don't realize there's this whole community center behind that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Riverside Elementary School here in town comes to the Y, and the kids learn how to swim at the Y. And we have partnerships like that.
So it's a partnership with the public school district? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and we have a lot of those. So, and I've been here 5 months, and I keep going, I didn't know we did that too. I mean, there's just a lot of history of stuff that we, and the partnership is key. That's a key thing. Remember, the whole expenses are going up, so the way to do it programmatically too is with partnerships. So
going back to your question, you have to remind me what it was, but it was, we went down the track of, you know, the local Y has now merged with, the board decided to vote and merge with the Twin Cities/St. Paul, Greater Twin Cities YMCA.
And I think it was, do I supervise, which then led us down another alley, which was a great alley, by the way. That was a great bucket, great right turn on that conversation. So, but that leads into then answering that question. So the way, since we're partnered with the YMCA Greater Twin Cities, I have experts. So as the executive director, I have an expert in aquatics and an expert in childcare who knows licensing upside down and knows the licensing people. And somebody that's an expert in personal training, an expert in group training, an expert in preschool, a variety of expert, programming experts. So there's an expert team that supports our ECLC, our licensed child care center. So there's a licensed child care director there. Her name is Abby Trom, who's a Rochester gal. She actually worked at the, I always forget the name of the, what's the drop-in center at Mayo, the child care center?
New Horizon.
No, it's the one where the kids are sick.
Oh, I
or you
know.
Don't have other care. The folks that are listening probably recognize what that is if you've got the kids. But she used to work there. So she's got a long history with parents and little kids. So she actually is the director of the facility. She's part of my lead team, but she reports to the licensing people. And let me tell you, I'm happy about that, because if she asks me a licensing question, I'm looking for my people and I become a bottleneck. Yep. So she is part of the team here, the lead team here. Yeah. You know, we operate as a team to support Rochester, but she directly reports to her her licensing experts. Now, almost everybody else in those other programs report to me in fitness and personal training and in member services and all those things. They report directly to me. But the licensing is a different beast, which needs a lot of technical skill. That, remember, I said I'm an expert. I'm not really an expert in anything. I just surround myself with smart people. Yeah, this is exactly an example of that case. So it's good.
I remember when, and I remember when you told me right away, like, yeah, we're gonna go to the Y daycare. I show up down the street.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm here. Like, nope, wrong one. Oh,
yes,
okay.
I know.
Yep.
Well, you know, interestingly, that's another thing that Y the USA has been saying to us for 5 or 6 years. You know, when I was an independent, is go where the programs are, go where the kids are, go where the needs are. So more and more, Y's are. They call it being outside the four walls. You might have heard that in board meetings and things too. But we don't have to do everything inside the facility of the Y. Yeah. It might be a better location for us to be by the Lourdes High School, where the families there are, and there's a lot of people in need for childcare here. But that was a high need area, so let's build there instead of having, you know, everything within the YMCA. And that wasn't too long ago where we were told, get them in the building, get them in the building. And now they're like, get them out of the building.
All right, we gotta do this now.
But it makes sense. It's like the satellite idea, you know, like a library sometimes have satellites in communities. It's the same thing with Y's. You know, how could we do a satellite or a boutique, you know, in where the needs are? Neighborhoods, the Twin Cities do really good neighborhood programs, after school programs in the neighborhoods, and they're YMCA programs. So staff and everything sent there, I could see us doing that here.
You know, me being in real estate, I'm actually also on the board of the YMCA, but I remember one time Googling like YMCA development just to see what other Ys are doing. And nationally, it's amazing what some of these Ys are doing in order to really become that community hub, all the way from housing to daycare to
homeless shelters.
There's a church that meets in the local Y.
Yeah.
And so, I mean...
The old saying, well, since I've been there for 20 years, is that if you've been to one Y, you've been to one Y. Because there are some things that are common, like the swim and gym. Most of us have swimming pools for swimming lessons or to teach you to be safe around water, or aqua aerobics, or just, you know, free time in the pool. And most of us have some semblance of a fitness center. But everything else is the needs of the community and the partners in the community. You know, like those basic need organizations, where are they seeing needs not being met? Or how can we assimilate people that are from different economic backgrounds or new to the country with just everybody else in the community?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think we fell into the swim and gym, because they couldn't advertise this homeless organization that the Y supports, because it's not in every community.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very distinct to your community. So Rochester's is, and with Mayo here and it being a small, big town, with so many other nonprofits, there's a lot of nonprofits in town here. There's just so many opportunity for us to partner. So I'm quickly learned that in 5 months, is there's so many people active and wanting to make a difference and wanting to make Rochester the best place it can be. But maybe more partnership might be needed. That's my 5 month eyes. You know, I've only been here 5 months, but goodness, if we can get a few of those organizations all moving in the same direction. The cradle to career model, that collective impact model, love that. That's because everybody's moving in the same direction to support kids cradle to career, you know, and all the milestones you need to be successful. So that's a why.
Hmm.
That's a why. The why should, you know, should and is involved in those things.
When I was younger, I also went to the Y camp, which in Rochester at the time was just at the Y. And then I think we did a little bit of field tripping from the Y.
Yeah.
But now there's access to even more camps
in
Minnesota and around, right?
Yeah, the Twin Cities YMCA, they have... I'm going off memory. I think they have 27 branches, and we're the 27th, I think. It might be 28, but I think it's 27. And then I think they have 10 camps or 11 camps, and many of them are up in the Twin City, or up in the Boundary Waters. So there's There's family camp, where you can bring your family and come. There's wilderness trips. There's all the wide variety of ages and all sorts of things that you can do. And then we have, in Red Wing, we have Camp Pepin, which is an overnight camp. And I think this Y used to be more closely connected to Camp Olson.
Oh, yeah, I remember
that.
Which
is an overnight camp, too, somewhere like northern mid-state of Minnesota.
Yep.
So even though we're part of the YMCA of Greater Twin Cities, and those are our kind of our core, all Ys, you know, we're all chartered under the Y of the USA. We try to support all each other. So it depends on what your family wants. But we do school-age care. We call it school-age care at our Y during the summer. And that's probably similar to what you're thinking about. You can come 3 or 4 or 5 days, and many of those days there's trips planned. They're in the middle right now of my staff of planning where we're going to take the kids and stuff like that. So that's very cool. It's a school-age care instead of a camp.
Felt like camp.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to camp.
That's why I think Ys are different, is because they want to have kids learn through play, have fitness through play. You know, it's all about the play. So it feels like camp, because everything you're doing is fun, even though we're tricking you into learning things or getting exercise or, you know, all those things.
So. I just had a flashback. So up in the gym where, not the main basketball gym, but the other gym where the volleyball net is, they used to have mats for gymnastics, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So these mats would like fold out, and then they would fold back in, and they're stacked up. And so a friend and I would go there after school. My dad's playing racquetball, and we'd play catch with the football. And I just remember he sprained his ankle going into the mat, like, because we were trying to be Chris Carter or Randy Moss, where they're like tippy toeing by the out of bounds, so fall into the mat. Yeah, that didn't go so hot.
I knew that was going to go down a direction. Like, was there an incident report completed? I'm sure that.
No. We just toughed it up.
Well, that's one thing I like about the Y too, is that there are organized programs. Like you sign up for a swimming class, and they're going to teach you how to swim. But there's also opportunities just to come and be Randy Moss and try to catch the ball, you know, as an example. So it's unstructured time. We just received a $2,500 grant from Rotary, so the three Rotary clubs, and I've been making my rounds to just meet, because I'm a Rotarian. I'm a 15-year Rotarian in different communities. I love Rotary people. So they gave us $2,500. We're going to spend every dollar on tricycles and big wheels and like that large motor skill stuff for the kids to do just what you're talking about, so that the kids can just like open gym preschool.
Yeah.
You can just come in and just be kids and just exercise and play and socialize with people you might not have met if you didn't meet them at the Y because they were in, you know, different neighborhood or something. And then the next thing I want to do is write grants for like parachutes and big tunnels and
play
things.
Yeah. Big parachute.
We just need to build our arsenal.
We forget about
of
that,
all
stuff,
that stuff,
don't we?
Yeah. Yeah. And we can do like birthday parties with that stuff too. But mostly I just want parents to be able to come and just interact with other parents and kids the same size from different backgrounds. And, you know, I start talking faster. It's so exciting. Mm-hmm. I really love it.
Yeah. I like that there's so much to it that it's not, you're not just doing one thing. Like you get to see so many things happening, work on so many different things, and get that variety.
So again, these are my 5 months' eyes. But what I'm seeing in Rochester, remember, when you've been to a Y, you've been one Y. But our Y seems to have a pretty healthy base of thousands of people that are in that 25 to, I tease and say 52, because I want it to be a year younger than me. 25 to 52 with kids. And so tons of families that are using the Y for all sorts of different programs. So sometimes it's parents taking care of their own health, and we're taking care of the kids while they're doing that. Or they're in swimming, or they're in an arts and humanities class, or they're in camp, or, you know, so it's a family thing. And then there's a large number of seniors, of course, too. So that would be 54 and older, so that I'm still not in that group either.
Mm-hmm. Right in the middle.
I'm in the cusp of not either, neither one of them. But the seniors, we have a very thousands and thousands of seniors that come to the Y too. So that's a different experience. You know, we do chili cook-offs with them. Or they did a painting class the other day. There was 18 of them in the ping pong room that you were in back in the day.
Yep.
Painting. And they were laughing. And we brought the Y-tots down, the preschoolers down. So they were laughing with the little ones, like intergenerational. There's just, I couldn't possibly describe one day at the Y with all this different stuff that's happening.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Out of every place I go to regularly in the community, it is by far the most diverse from any place I go to, which is really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, just think, you're in school and that's somewhat diverse, right?
Yep.
And then you get out of school and you go to your job, and you know, it can be, but you're not, you're not really, from what I've seen, interacting with people in ways that are outside of kind of that work mentality. And you go to the Y and it's like, awesome. It is so cool.
If you come to the Y after school, you know, around that 4 o'clock time, it's so, like you said, so extremely diverse. It's all ages, backgrounds. I mean, it's just, it's amazing. It's really amazing. It's active and laughter and serious talk and, you know, from, it's cool.
Yeah.
I like it. My
grandparents are in the in Milwaukee, and they're part of a Y up there. But yeah, they love it because they get to do different activities, see their friends, do stuff like that, and it's like one spot where they're really getting to do those kinds of things, other than like church events and stuff like that. Like, well, we go to the Y to see people. And,
And it's it's welcoming too. You know, I went to we call them Forever Well classes. So those are some of the senior classes that are more geared towards, you know, people that are not 52, but maybe 60 or 65 or older. Yeah. And so I joined them for one of their classes in the gym, and there was probably 20 women in there. It was my first class I've taken here in Rochester. And I'm not a group exercise. That's not my thing. I'm more to be, you know, in the fitness center. But they were so welcoming, too. I mean, some of them knew who I was, but most didn't. And they were very welcoming. They could tell that I didn't know what I was doing. And they were giving me direction and helping me get set up and encouraging me and, you know, all that stuff. Like, where else do you go where, you know, that happens, too? Not just in that class, but in every class and in everything we're doing there. Everybody's really, it's like you just feel like you're part of a family when you walk in the doors. I love that. You know, even if you've just walked in the doors, you're still part of the family. So it's different. A nonprofit just creates a different environment, I think. And for-profits can create that too, but definitely at a Y, it's more community center. We're all in this together. It's, you know, all your stresses for the day, you can shuck those off for a little while, or whatever you have to tackle later in the day, shuck that off, and you just enjoy the Y and the people at the Y. So it's cool.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
What are some things that the local Y is in need of, is looking to expand on, or?
I think partnerships, and I mentioned that a couple of times. So there are a lot of organizations in town who have identified unmet needs in our community, from cradle to, you know, cradle to people that are well into their 80s and 90s. So what I'm interested in this next year is to try to identify where those biggest unmet needs are and which organizations are connected with them. Like, I think in the next year or 2 years, we should be solidly connected with other groups, organizations, businesses that have identified something needs to be done that isn't being done, and the Y is brought to the table to help it make it happen.
Mm.
So it's not really it's not a thing.
Yeah.
It's a cultural, you know, how do we do this together better? And the culture here is partnership. So it's just
we're in the right community for it.
Yeah, it's to do more of that in a big ways, in big ways.
What's an example of some partnerships now besides like the Riverside Elementary?
We're actually having conversations. The one I'm thinking of off the top of my head is with the MOPS group, which is Mothers of Preschoolers.
Okay.
And so that's a national organization so they get support from a national organization. And they're helping families that have kids with preschoolers. And so it's helping the parents to make sure that they're getting their questions answered on whatever things they need as a parent or other. And then it's making sure the kids have good opportunities to get exercise. And so they had been, for a while, I think, renting space at the Y, where they'd come in and use space. We'd watch their kids, for example, while they, you know, used a conference room and did what they were doing. And now we're having conversations with, how can we make this a stronger partnership? We have so many resources. Can we send your kids to get swimming lessons or even learn safety around water? Or can we do some things in the gym with them? Can we put the moms through a Zumba class or a yoga class? Or can we have one of our personal trainers come and talk to the moms about, you know, or can we bring a nutritionist in? And, you know, so how can we deepen that relationship? That's kind of the partnership piece I was talking about, too. So that's been really good. And UMR we partner with quite extensively, and we're expanding that, too. So the University of Minnesota's students can come and activate their membership at the Y, so they get a membership as long as they come and activate it, and then they get access. But now we're having conversations with how can you volunteer in some of our evidence-based programs.
Okay, good.
So it's a medical, you know.
More than just your membership, right?
Yeah, so how can you come and get involved in our Healthy Weight Your Child or your Live Strong program or our, you know, or our seniors or enhanced program or all those things. Internships. So we're starting to go there when they have their new student days, go to UMR and make sure the students know, hey, we're here. We've got resources, come, you know, so those kinds of things are.
I would be curious, and I don't know if there's examples here you can share about that for-profits have partnered besides just the giving, you know, besides just the great donations that they make. I'm just thinking, is there, because there's so many health and wellness like for profits that continually grow nationwide because of where health and wellness is going. And I just wonder of in integration for that.
I've got a great one. The Chamber of Commerce here in town is really strong. Love that. It was pretty strong in Northfield too, but it's really strong here with actively involved people in the community. And when you talk to them and I ask them, what are the needs you're seeing that the businesses have? They'll tell you barriers to the workforce. Well, what are those barriers? Childcare. So we're having conversations about, well, how can we make sure that we let all the employers that are chamber members and beyond know the YMCA has licensed childcare, where we're not the most expensive in the community, we're not the cheapest, but we got financial scholarships. So if you have employees that are you want to hire, want to work more hours, but they can't because they don't have childcare. So it's networking kinds of things and listening to the for-profits. Like, what is it that you're seeing that you need? And the Ys often can step in and go, you know, maybe not on their own, but they can find other partners and help meet those needs. But childcare is a great one for the chamber, which is businesses. Another one that I did in Northfield quite a lot was employee wellness. So companies, businesses, for-profits and nonprofits, you know, how can we add to your benefit package, especially small businesses? You know, can you have a membership at the Y? Can we have some kind of an agreement between your business and the Y? And you could come. And so some businesses, in fact, the city of Northfield, I can't remember the number of times, I'm not a detail person, but we'd track how many times their employees came, and if they came a certain amount of times, the city kicked in $18 towards their membership. Because their health insurance didn't do that. They had some kind of a different health insurance. So we had a number of businesses that did that kind of thing. We'd do, we would call them lunch bag meetings too, where we'd, you know, bring a nutritionist in, and people during their lunch, we'd share with them some information about that. We've done chair aerobics to help you stretch if you're sitting in a chair all day long, you know. So as people start to slump over.
Yep, I know exactly what you're talking about.
So to answer your question, Buck, it's no different than talking to a nonprofit. What are the unmet needs? It's the same question.
Yeah.
What are you seeing the unmet needs? Now, sometimes it wouldn't be in our wheelhouse, and that's okay. Then we just still can continue with those conversations. But sometimes it is in our wheelhouse.
And I think what it tells me, too, is the door is open. Yeah. You know, you got an idea. Let's talk. Let's see if we can't put some resources towards it and make it happen. My mind went to Deed, Minnesota Deed. Can't exactly remember what it stands for, but let's call it the economic portion of the state of Minnesota. And they are helping entrepreneurs with things such as healthcare and some funding, whether it's grants or loans. And when you said healthcare, it makes me think, well, okay, people in this startup mode, one thing that tends to lack is taking care of themselves. And so is there a way to integrate with some of that as well? You know, that's just the world we live in of entrepreneurs that are working out of here that, you know, you see the business, everything's super excited. Yeah, I didn't get to the Y for 2 years, you know.
I understand that. When we were in Northfield, that was an independent. We were a $1.5 million organization, so it was a smaller, you know, in Northfield it was a smaller business. And we didn't have enough full-time employees to have a healthcare plan. So we were given a stipend and we were on Minsure. And so, but then you got to make sure, okay, beyond that, because it's probably not the greatest insurance if you have high premium, you know, principals and you're paying a lot per month for that. But then we'd have an employee wellness committee at the Y, our own employees, to talk about, okay, so we got SHIP funding to get bicycles, actually. So the Statewide Health Initiative Program, which is through the county, and Olmsted County has one of those too. We got funding from them to get 4 bicycles, and they were for the employees. So sometimes those businesses have to figure out what their employees want, and then if there's resources available to apply for it. So it was, we applied for snowshoes too. We didn't get that, by the way. We did get the bikes though.
They figured you got 4-wheel drive, you're good.
Put some fat tires on those bikes, you're good.
Who's really gonna snowshoe to work? You're just gonna stay at home. Don't kid us.
Everyone like steps out the door like, yeah, it's too cold.
Yeah. Well, if January, I would have had snowshoes, I would have made it, but fun, I didn't make it.
I did when I started in November, and when we had the polar vortex, and we had the state of emergency where you shut down the city in February, I think, and 30-foot snow drifts on the 52, and I'm from Minnesota.
Well, you're coming from
Northfield, right? Right.
Gosh.
So I did say a couple of times, so is this normal in this part of the state? And I just didn't realize this is what always
Welcome
happens.
Welcome to Rochester.
That's what they said. It's like, okay, it's normal.
We got a big snowfall May 2nd, so don't put your snow shovel away just yet. This was a few years ago, and people can remember where they were May 2nd.
We got tulip bulbs coming up at the Y, so I don't want no snow. I want those bulbs blooming.
What are areas that people could volunteer?
Oh, good question.
At the Y, and
that's a good question.
Everything that it does.
Volunteering at any place, but at the Y, yeah. The way I think of it is a gold mine, because we have ratios and we have curriculum, and anybody that steps in and can help out with basketball or be a gym monitor just adds value. It's bonus, absolutely bonus. So we have everything from working in our drop-in childcare to gym monitors is something the team has talked about. We have so many kids that come in the evening. It would be nice just to have somebody just to make sure, you know, that kids have a go-to person if they have trouble or some squabbles and stuff, that it can be an adult that can help them with that. You can be a volunteer in our swimming program. We have volunteers in all those areas already. So it's just about anything you can think of. In our Live Strong program, we have volunteers that help. There's a volunteer assigned to each cancer patient, and they help them through their physical fitness pieces, you know, and they're part of the curriculum and part of the team. So, oh my gosh, if you Google Rochester, Minnesota YMCA volunteer, and you have to do that, because that's one of the challenges with being part of the Twin Cities, is we're part of their website, so I can't always find Rochester stuff.
So put Rochester.
So if you Google Rochester, Minnesota, because there is one in New York.
Oh, yeah.
Rochester, Minnesota YMCA volunteers, or Rochester, Minnesota YMCA jobs, or whatever, membership, personal training, you'll get our landing page, and you'll see the list of the volunteer stuff we have open right now.
So do they just go there, or can they just stop in?
They'd have to apply online, because there's a background check involved.
Oh, I'm sure you got to get it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. It goes pretty quick, though. So, and the world is moving online, I'm noticing, you know, I'm feeling every bit of my 53 years when everything is.
what's some ways that social media is being used at the Y?
That is something I love to do. So when I was in Northfield, I kind of drove that when we were getting the Y built. And so we're on Facebook, of course, so that's managed locally by our folks here. And we're on Instagram and we're on Twitter. We don't have a Tumblr page yet, but I kind of see that as not being as popular.
No, I don't think so.
I don't
spend any time on that.
Don't spend time on that. won't do it. Those are the key ones. And the demographics, what I'm noticing of who's liking the different posts, Twitter is definitely younger. And then there's a spark of older ones, too, like politically active people are in Twitter. And Instagram is more the 20 and 30-year-olds. And Facebook is, you know, mostly women between the ages of, like, 38 and 52.
You know, one, and I'll let you share about it, but one.
It's kind of hard.
Until I turn 54, it's going to be 52.
There's one that, I've seen some. Not locally, but I've seen some businesses use it because it is a platform and it is widely known for the younger demographic. It was Musical.ly and it switched over to TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
so
Bucky tells me to get a TikTok account. So I'm on there and, yeah, we can use it for business. I'm on there just wasting time watching all these funny videos. Like, well, you got me addicted to this now. So.
And it's funny. It's I don't know if you ever saw Vine, but Vine was short snippet videos and usually humor. But you don't need to use it that way. I mean, you can post any video. So I put my market updates on there. And again, it's more testing. But what I would say in your nonprofit / business is that the younger demographic locally would have some brand awareness of the brand. And it's just unique. I mean, you can't go to any other platform and have, you know, that age.
So that's a volunteer opportunity. I'd love, because I'm not going to figure that out.
Interesting.
And probably my staff team won't either, which are the 2030s, you know, most of them are. And there's a 2030s, 40s are the program directors of the Y. We're probably not going to figure that out. That'd be a volunteer opportunity. Get some of the kids together and have them come to a project at the Y to just evaluate where we should be on social media.
Mm.
And for that demographic, that'd be an awesome, you know, or maybe an intern from UMR or RCTC can do something like that, but that'd be a great, awesome thing to do.
Makes me think of the YMCA. I mean, you can make a TikTok pretty quickly.
Like, I'm thinking like the kids, like get them like, that could be like a thing where, you know, a bunch of kids at the Y are doing these different things.
Doing the YMCA.
Well, I went to the Y of the USA does these, they call them association assemblies, so they'd invite all the CEOs around the whole nation. And when I was still in Northfield, I went as a CEO. And I think that was like 2 years ago or something. And when we spoke to our president spoke, so the Y of the USA's president. And his message was, there was two messages for moving forward. Remember, the year before it was partnership, partnership, partnership. So this year it was get on the technology bandwagon because that's the new world. So figure that out. And I'm not talking marketing, he said, or I'm not talking only marketing, but how can you integrate that into the work that you do?
Mm-hmm.
And the second one was making sure that you have families connected to the why, including the technology pieces. Mm. You know, so if you think about, like, my youngest is 30, and even when he was in high school, I had a hard time getting him off the WoW and the games he was playing, and that was 11 years ago, 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going away. How do you do that? So
now, how do you integrate it?
Answers.
No, right.
I was like ready to write down how do you right. do that,
and he walks up the stage like no, wait.
But it's going back to your communities and talking to your organizations and the youth and the different age people to find out what that means. What does that look like?
Yeah, you know, and you think, okay, could you educate youth about the proper ways to do it? But they're gonna be like, I'm not going to that. Like, whatever. So how do you make it fun
right.
in a way where, like, we're going to get creative with this and show you some cool things you can do? Oh, and by the way, there's right. this whole safety side of things too. Like, schools may be having those conversations. I don't know, but could the why as an
Absolutely.
Example?
It is because I'm finding fast that I don't have the fun ideas anymore. So it's again going to get those are the unmet needs. Get the people that are not being their needs met at the table. So mm-hmm. you can have those conversations. So it's good. Yeah, I need an interpreter sometimes when they start talking about some technology things. I'm talking Portuguese, and I need to know how to say right. this in Japanese. Yeah.
What do you mean, internet's not dial-up anymore?
Yeah,
killing me right now.
What?
All right, we are at our 45-minute mark. Rocking and rolling. That's
already
when we've been.
That flew.
I know that did fly. Thank you for the fun conversation.
This was fun.
Thank
I
you.
Enjoy getting together with you guys. You make it fun. So thanks.
So if people want to learn more about the local Y, learn about volunteer opportunities, learn about the golf event coming in September.
Oh, yes.
Heck
Thank
yeah.
You. Yes.
Where do they go?
Go to Google and do Rochester, Minnesota YMCA, and you'll pull up our landing page. And we do, that's a good thing to remember, we do have a For the Kids golf event coming up September 23rd. And the funds proceeds for that go towards the Y's annual campaign to make sure that anyone and everyone who wants to participate can. Because we do an annual campaign every year to make sure that if someone walks in and they can't afford to be a member, then they can still do that by donations and stuff. So.
And if people want to be a member just to the Y, for the swim, for the gym, for yep. the racquetball courts, which there's less and less people, but we need to find more. Where do they, do you get a tour or what
yeah,
is that?
The
what
easiest
works?
Thing is to walk in the front door.
Okay.
We always have people ready to give you tours, and it's very low key. So you can get your own questions answered. Like, you might have ideas on what you or your family might want from the Y, and you can answer your own questions. So to come take a tour, it takes 15 to 25 minutes, and then you can ask all the questions you want, including scholarships. So if it's something that's a little out of reach, you can apply right there, and they'll get you taken care of.
Yeah, that's something you just don't hear about, the scholarship potential If there's a family that can't afford it, there's ability to apply and possibly get scholarships to have a membership, which is sweet.
Yeah. All right. It's good. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Bucky at the offices of China Hall. We're going to get our Wednesday rolling and get to work.
And I'm
Who
Josh.
Are you?
Josh. And let's get to work.
We'll see you next time.
I'm like thinking what I need to do now after you said that.
Thank you. We'll see you next time. If you have anybody interested in being on the podcast, let us know. Connect us with them. We'd love to have them up.